Chapter 22. I regret to announce that the Corellian government has declined our offer of talks. Unless the Galactic Alliance undertakes to recognize the right of Corellia to maintain its own independent defense force and deterrence. As the Alliance is unable to accept a refusal to disarm, we are now in a state of war with Corellia and her allies. Chief of State Cal Omis, in a brief statement to the Senate. Millennium Falcon, en route to Coronet. Even sitting at the Falcon's controls again couldn't make Han feel any better. He wanted events of the last few days to wind back like a holo recording so he could erase them and do things right this time. Corellia loomed larger in the viewscreen. At least they could land openly now, and the worst thing that would happen would be a few jeers about being a traitor, if anyone remembered that far back. A few weeks was a very long time in a war, and he didn't care any longer if the Solos were a political embarrassment to Luke. Luke had made his choice. "And my son is turning into a monster." Leia reached across and put her hand on top of his as he gripped the forward thruster controls.
"It's 80 kilos per square centimeter."
"What is?" asked Han, distracted.
"The yield stress of Durasteel. You look like you're testing it."
Han let go of the controls. The autopilot was active anyway. He had been gripping the yoke for comfort because he felt it was about all he did have a grip on at that moment in his life. "Is it us? Did we raise him like that? How did we do it? How come Jaina isn't like that?
I don't know what's happening either.
I thought I understood all this dark and light side stuff. So it's all part of the one force. So what did I meet back there that used to be our Jason?"
"Honey, you have to calm down.
Jason tortures prisoners to death. How can I calm down? Is he going crazy? Does he feel different to you?" Leia was always the sensible one with the cool nerves and the ability to make everything sound as if it were under control. He was the one who did the physical stuff. That was the way their marriage worked, and it had withstood some pretty terrible tests. Now she looked as if she couldn't make things right again.
"Okay," she said. "Jason feels changed to me. Maybe this is what's getting to Jaina. She's very unhappy. I can sense it."
"At least she's not flying missions. She saw sense.
But she hasn't contacted us, which usually means there's something she thinks we'd be better off not knowing."
"You think you could maybe trade force telekinesis for telepathy if you get the chance? That would really come in handy." Han rubbed his hands over his face and then checked the control console. They'd land in an hour, but Thraken was gone forever. That was something. And the Falcon was airworthy again, which was another plus.
"When Fett sees the state of the body, he's going to work it out for himself," said Leia.
"Maybe he won't look."
"He doesn't strike me as the squeamish sort, honey."
"He never saw her for 50 years. It's not like he cares about her. What sort of father doesn't see his kid for years?"
"Well, we didn't see Jason for 5,
Leia pointed out. "That was different." "Are you scared of Fett?"
"I like to give him a wide berth."
"I'd like to say I can take him any time, but I have my doubts." Leia closed her eyes for a moment as if marshaling her thoughts.
"We'll deal with it if and when it happens. It might not be our biggest problem."
"What, that our son ticks off the galaxy's most lethal bounty hunter? What's higher than that on the list?" Leia got up from the co-pilot seat and made her way aft to the hatch, linking the cockpit to the cargo bays. Han knew she was going to take another look at Aelin Vell's body. Maybe she was going to make her look a little more presentable for her father, or somehow gather information from her last moments in those Jedi ways. He didn't ask.
"I'll tell you what's a bigger problem than having a feud with Boba Fett," she said. "Having a son who kills when he doesn't have to."
Han wondered if it was the first time Jason had done that, and felt ashamed for even thinking it. Then he wondered, when Jason would do it again. Coronet City Spaceport, Corellia. Myrta was waiting for Fett when he opened Slave One's forward hatch. She didn't have a blaster in her hand, so he gave her the benefit of the doubt. He was feeling both his age and his illness right then. Dull pain gnawed at him. He ignored it. "The Solos are bringing back Aelin's body," he told her.
"I know. I want it."
"Here we go. You don't have a ship, and you don't have any credits. What are you going to do with her?"
"What are you planning to do with her?"
"Bury her."
"Little late to take care of your daughter now."
"Don't you think I know that?" Fett noted that she was wearing the Heart of Fire around her neck. "So she gave you the necklace as a lure for me."
Myrta clasped her hand around the stone. "No, I really did recover it."
"So what happened to Sintas?"
"Why do you care?"
"Because I loved her. And not even Aelin could possibly know what happened to us, and why I left. So don't judge me."
Myrta's face was set in a snarl. "You never made any attempt to contact them."
"You want to know what my life was like?"
"Yeah. It must have been tough building that fortune."
"My dad was killed in front of me when I was 13. I was on the run for 3 years. I married Sintas at 16 because I thought I could make my life right by doing what normal people did. But I was wrong. I tried to be a journeyman protector, but I killed a superior officer and I was jailed and exiled from Concord Dawn. And that was the end of trying to be a regular man. After that, I settled on being Boba Fett, because I just didn't know how to do anything else." Myrta looked at him as if she was debating whether to put a couple of bolts in his head or try a chest shot. He didn't want her sympathy. He wanted her to understand why he would have made Sintas and Daylan a lot more miserable by coming back to them after his sentence than by leaving. And he'd killed an officer who had once been his mentor, his friend. They hadn't really needed to exile him. He'd wanted to get as far away from his pain as he could. But why did he want Myrta to understand it all? She was just a stranger he'd met a few weeks ago.
"She's nothing to me. Maybe she isn't even my own flesh and blood, just that chancer trying to make a few credits out of me."
There was one way of settling this once and for all. He took out his data pad and accessed his accounts.
"Got a bank?"
"Why do you want to know?"
"You put the first round into Sal Solo. Take the million credits and get lost."
Her face was a mask of contempt. "You know what you can do with your credits."
She was family, all right. He knew it at a gut level, anyway.
"Got any brothers or sisters?"
"No, and no kids either."
He never thought to ask that. "You're too young, anyway."
"I was married. We marry young, don't we?"
"Oh, well, we repeat history. I don't need this trouble. I've got enough of my own."
Fett didn't ask why she wasn't married any longer. Her sour manner might have had something to do with that. But he'd started to respect her. And she was his granddaughter. She was all the family he had.
"No. You need her to find the clone. And she knows what happened to Sintas."
He was playing games with himself, justifying his sentimentality with bogus pragmatism. He could find the clone on his own. He didn't need to know what happened to his wife. No, he was driven by the same craving that had made his father ask Dooku for a cloned son as part of his fee for being the progenitor of the clone army. He badly wanted family. It would have been simpler to find a wife and settle down. But Boba Fett was no more capable of that than his father had been.
"So we're going to fight over a corpse."
"You just want to win," said Myrta. "Doesn't matter what you win."
Fett couldn't even be angry with her. He leaned against Slave One's hull and gazed up at the sky through his helmet's macro-binocular visor, waiting for the Millennium Falcon to appear as a speck in the sky and drop onto the landing strip. Myrta waited beside him, but not with him. He could almost feel the invisible wall she had placed between them. It was a long half hour. The Falcon swept across the strip and then looped back to land 50 meters away. Fett straightened up and went to meet her, Myrta at his heels. Leia Solo was first off the ship and walked toward him as if barring his way.
"I'm truly sorry about this, Fett. You too, Myrta."
Fett walked past her and climbed the open ramp into the cargo hold. Han was maneuvering a repulsor gurney into the main bay, and he glanced over his shoulder at the two of them.
"Are you going to put us back on your hit list?" Han asked. "If you're thinking of going after Jason, he's too tough a quarry, even for you."
Fett shook his head in slow, measured contempt.
"I don't have to punish anyone, Solo. Your son orders his own sister to fire on civilians, and then suspends her from duty when she refuses. No, I think I'll leave you to your happy family. I've got more pressing business."
He watched Han look at Leia, and Leia look at Han, and knew that he'd dropped a thermal detonator on them. So they didn't know.
"Fearfick, that's my daughter in that body bag."
The silence was that heavy moment before a thunderstorm pressing down on all of them. Leia. Yes, his predecessor Fen Shisa had been very sweet on Leia way back before she married the space bomb. Made a helpless gesture toward the hatch.
"I can get someone to arrange a funeral for you, Fen."
"No," he said. "She's mine."
Time for a gesture.
"She's ours."
"Okay."
Leia's voice was low and careful.
"Take it easy."
"I want to see her body."
"I don't think that's a good idea."
"Princess Leia, I said I want to see my daughter's body."
Myrta took hold of his arm.
"Is that for her comfort or mine?"
Fett was once again glad of his helmet, because he didn't want Han Solo to see his grief. His voice gave nothing away.
"And I want to see my mother," said Myrta.
Leia stepped back, but Han hovered. Fett couldn't stop his voice heartening.
"Leave us for a few minutes, Solo."
"Fan,
I said leave us."
Han looked embarrassed, and Leia steered him toward the hatch. Fett and Myrta were now alone in the cargo bay anteroom with the trolley. They both hesitated and made a move for it at the same time. Fett stood back for Myrta, and she eased open the cover, eyes fixed and staring. It was only the slight jerk of her chin that told him she was shocked.
He stood beside her and saw a stranger.
Aelin Vell's face was bruised and cut, but surprisingly peaceful. She wore a Kiffar tattoo, 3 black lines from her left brow to cheekbone, like her mother Sintas had done. Her dark hair was heavily streaked with gray.
"That's my little girl."
He tried very hard to feel that the body of a middle-aged woman he didn't recognize was the child he had once held. They said that your kids never stopped being your babies, however old they were, but Fett couldn't make that connection.
"But I want to. I want to feel that."
"You missed her whole life, everything."
"Did she ever call me Dada?"
"No, I don't recall that she did." Myrta leaned over, placed the heart of fire around her mother's neck, and laid her cheek against hers. Then she straightened up and stood back, as if to give him space to take his leave of Aelin as well. And that was hard. He hesitated because he could feel another memory, one that he hadn't suppressed and didn't want to, crowding in on him. He was in a dusty arena on Geonosis, 60 years before, picking up his father's helmet.
"Jedi always take everything from me."
Fett would have to remove his helmet to kiss her goodbye, and he wasn't ready for that, not here. He tidied Aelin's hair with gloved fingers and was about to close the body bag when the urge not to lose the heart of fire overcame him. It was all he had of a happier time. He unfastened it and found Myrta staring at him, grim and unblinking. She wanted it to rest with Aelin's body. There was a solution.
Hearts of Fire had a grain, a crystalline structure that created lines of weakness that jewelers used to cleave the stones into smaller, workable pieces. Fett set the small disk on its edge and took out his blaster. A couple of hard cracks with the stock split the stone down the cleavage line, and it fell into two slices. Fett eased one piece off the leather thong and handed it to Myrta, before placing the remains of the necklace around Aelin's neck again. He'd handled a lot of dead bodies. If you were a bounty hunter, it went with the job. It was only when he fumbled fastening the leather cord at the back of the neck and had to remove his gloves that he actually touched Aelin. Her hair was coarser than he'd imagined. Her skin was icy silk. And that was the point at which he truly knew that he had lost his only child. He had never been there for her, and that was a pain he knew would never fade. Not like his memory of Sentaz. His father had been there for him, but he'd failed to live up to him in the most important way of all, by being as good a father as Jango Fett.
"Let's go," said Myrta. "We're taking her home."
It had suddenly become we. Where's home? Not Terrace.
Mandalore.
I don't actually have a property there now.
Time you got one, then.
Boba Fett and Myrta returned to Slave One, and laid Aelin Vel in the refrigerated hold that had been designed for prisoners whose warrant had included the word dead. It didn't feel right, but it was the only practical solution for the journey back to Mandalore. Whoever that Kadika was, he had a point. Sometimes you really needed somewhere to call home forever. Fett made his way back up through Slave One's central hatch and settled in the pilot's seat. Myrta, still silent, slipped into the co-pilot's position. "Bevine says we Mandalorians rarely bury our dead," said Fett. "But I never was much of a Mandalorian."
"Mama was Kiffar."
"Okay. What do you want to do, then?" Myrta's eyes brimmed.
"I don't know right now."
Fett lifted off his helmet. "We'll head back to Mandalore, by way of Geonosis, because that's where I buried my dad. Family needs keeping together." It was the longest conversation about anything other than business that he'd had with anyone since he was a kid. It was personal. Agonizingly so, and the effort hurt. He finally let the tears run down his face in silence. Myrta cried beside him, occasionally gulping for air. It was all very quiet and embarrassed, as if neither was willing to admit they could weep, but the truth was that they both could, and hard. They were family now. It was the worst possible way to forge a bond, but it was a bond, even if there was no affection. And for the first time in his life, it was one that Boba Fett would try to approach as a father himself, not as a man constantly living in the past, in search of one who would never return.